Independence Day. Chicago, Illinois, July 4th weekend, 100 people shot, 11 kids, 18 killed. This is the Divided Kingdom. Luke Havily reporting. As the July 4th celebration stills, are we a nation of truth or lies?
Good question, Lou. This is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly here at the Divided Kingdom. Some telling news headlines at naturalnews.com for July 6th were these. Obey or else. French government wants all adults aged 24 to 59 to be forcibly vaccinated for COVID. Prime Minister Jean Castex was pushing hard against an alleged fourth wave of a COVID variant. Less than 25% of the French people ages 30 to 49 have gotten the shots. About half of those aged 50 to 64 have received the jab. Those numbers are far less than the government wants. Germany bans killing chick embryos, but still allows abortion of human babies. Dinesh D'Souza says the FBI is America's greatest terrorist threat. This was July 6th. He points out that some involved in the Capitol riot were FBI agents. This is after a report from Revolver. The report charged that key individuals who planned the Capitol riot were likely federal agents or informers.
Is a decency or abomination in us? Dr. Peter McCullough, notable in the field of internal medicine, last week gave an interview on Brighteon.com. Dr. McCullough is the most published medical authority in his field, bringing out over 600 peer-reviewed articles. Dr. Peter McCullough discussed the stranglehold in America that stopped use of preventive countermeasures to early stages of COVID, including such aspects as total media brainwashing against the use of hydroxychloroquine, and the strange destruction of a hydroxychloroquine production site. He updated all of us to some very sobering facts in a once beautiful America. One, 27,000 have been hospitalized after receiving the COVID vaccine. Two, the true statistics are that in the first trimester of pregnancy, post-COVID vaccinated women had an 83% rate of miscarriage. Basically, four out of five babies were lost.
That's astounding.
It is astounding, yes.
That's just astounding.
You're listening to The Divided Kingdom, the Christian Watchman program coming to you on WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Global Star Radio, and KStarTalkRadio.com. Check their sites for time schedules. Referring again to Dr. Peter McCullough, he said that America's obstetricians who advise pregnant women to get the COVID vaccine are under some kind of brainwashing trance. They're advising pregnant women to get these experimental vaccines, Dr. McCullough says, quote, is shameful and an atrocity against women and unborn children, unquote. These vaccines are directly killing babies in the first trimester, and it is atrocious. We have a long, long line of shame. We have years of reckoning ahead.
Lou, such a courageous, good man, Dr. McCullough. He even had COVID himself, he states. Now, before I continue, I have a correction from the Divided Kingdom on an earlier program. I discussed President Biden's older dog dying, and I didn't have the news source right there at hand. Later, I saw my error. Major was not the name of the old, personable, cherished dog. He was instead named Champ, the younger, militant dog that bit people and supposedly caused Biden to suffer a foot injury in November, and was sent off to a dog reeducation center. Are you listening, Hillary? I wonder whether you have any dogs that you need to send out. Was named Major. But my analogy about Animal Farm was still correct. You know, a rose is a rose despite the name, Major or not. When the New World Order uses up people and they are no longer useful to them, off to the glue factory they go. And so now, in regard again to Dr. Peter McCullough's prophetic words, We have years of reckoning ahead. Most in America are cowards and or quislings. Few will step up with courage to start this reckoning. And amidst what we here have been calling despotism, degradation, and dragon at the door, we must add the word death, because from 2020 on, COVID itself to 2021's largely clandestine COVID vaccine killings, and we just heard yesterday there's going to be a new nomenclature in Australia from one of these mRNA vaccine producers. I believe it was Moderna. They're going to call it the spike vax. Isn't that right, Lou?
That's right.
The spike vax. Isn't that edgy and clever and cute? Oh, yes. And then I think there's also going to be another nomenclature used. You pronounce it, Lou.
Ah, now there you got me in the spot.
It has mRNA in with it. Comirnaty. That's it.
I think that's Comirnaty. It. I think you've got it.
It's a lot like the women's shopping group that's called Comirnaty. Practically every last store is now coming under Comirnaty. So we can see communal things happening in our country, can't we? That Marxist ideal community. So this Comirnaty will kind of cloud the issue. It will make everything seem good. Community, everybody is linking up and nobody thinks for themselves. We have the hive mind, don't we?
Sure do.
Yeah, all the bees are buzzing back, but who is the queen in all this? We wonder. So at any rate, what we're saying is, are there any courageous people left to speak out against all this? We're glad that some of what we have been talking about for many months has finally reached Fox and the mainstream. Some of these vaccine injuries are coming out, and we understand that Tucker Carlson is sort of threatened with different things. I've been very bitter toward him because of the way he spurned Sidney Powell's evidence. So I haven't watched him, but God may say to me, you know, your little potatoes, you and Lou, you may have to forgive him because maybe he repented. And if he's doing good, we have to find the good where we can find it. But we can never fully trust the minions and the backers of the mainstream media. So at his town hall, Senator Ron Johnson started to take a sledgehammer to begin breaking up the harm to the young. This horrendous American state secret. A little courage in action are better than nothing, but it is still sad that Senator Johnson says he still supports vaccines, including the COVID-19 experimental ones, and that he understands the situation of growing vaccine injuries by saying, quote, that small minority that are suffering severe symptoms, they want to deny that reality. No, Senator Johnson, it is not a small minority. You're going to hear some more truth tonight, listeners. And if you value this program, no commercials, and the straight truth as far as we can find it, things you will never hear in the mainstream press. You will never hear the news about the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic and the probable start of it at Fort Riley, Kansas, as a misbegotten, gone awry vaccine experiment for meningitis. Yes, the Rockefellers were involved. The same old crew. A friend said today, nothing is really new because Satan's been here a long time, and the New World Order has been operating, really, listeners, since the Tower of Babel. So now I think we're going to move right into what Senator Johnson did, and we are glad for the beginning of this sledgehammer to fall.
This is from the Gateway Pundit, and the headline reads, Senator Ron Johnson hearing, mother with disabled daughter breaks down crying while sharing how COVID vaccine shattered her daughter's life. This is by Jim Hoff, June 28, 2021. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson held a press conference with families who are victims of the COVID vaccine Monday, June 28, at the federal courthouse in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The families from across the country came to talk about the adverse reactions they've experienced after taking a COVID-19 vaccine. Just last week, the CDC admitted they were finding more cases of rare heart inflammation than expected in young adults who took the COVID vaccine. On Monday, several families discussed the horrors they have faced since taking that vaccine. One mother, Stephanie DeGary, cried as she told the story of her daughter, Maddie DeGary, who was an active, healthy young woman until she took the COVID vaccine in December. This was heartbreaking testimony. And now we move to more details, this time from Natural News by Ethan Huff. At this meeting, Senator Johnson allowed people from all across the country to tell their stories about how the Chinese virus injections harmed either themselves or someone they knew. One person who spoke is the mother of a 12-year-old girl who is now wheelchair-bound thanks to the jab. Stephanie DeGary claims that her daughter, Maddie, was perfectly healthy before she and her brothers were enrolled in a Pfizer trial for children back in January. After receiving her second injection, young Maddie came down with a laundry list of horrific symptoms that have left her on an NG feeding tube. Quote, "Why is she not back to normal?" Stephanie asked as her daughter sat next to her and listened quietly. And there was a video clip that went with this article from Natural News. And commenting upon that video clip, it says, as you will notice in the above clip, Maddie's facial reactions do not seem to align with what her mother is saying, suggesting that the child is now suffering from some kind of brain damage.
So tragic.
Yes. Stephanie confirmed this, also indicating that Maddie now has irregular menstrual cycles and can no longer feel any body parts below her waist, hence the reason she's now bound to a wheelchair. And Stephanie added, quote, "For the past 5 months, Maddie has been to the ER 9 times and has been hospitalized 3 times for a total of 2 months in the hospital. She was totally fine before this. She did the right thing, trying to help everybody else, and they're not helping her."
And Lou, we must point out, I believe she is African American, and you and I know that things were designed to be worse on the black community.
Yes.
These race-specific vaccines were talked about in the PNAC documents way back in the Bush years. This has been going on a long time, since the earliest days of Margaret Sanger, and then all of that being fed across the ocean to Hitler and the T4. America has, yes, done wonderful missionary work, but it's done some horrific things for Satan, too.
And now the subheadline states, how many need to become paralyzed or die before the COVID vaccine campaign finally ends? Another individual named Candace Hayden explained how she developed severe paresthesia and became partially paralyzed from the chest down. This is similar to what happened to Maddie. That happened after she received her experimental injection with the Fauci flu. Breanne Dressen, one of the other 6 people who spoke at the meeting, says she lost control of both of her legs, along with her bladder and dignity, as a result of getting injected for the Chinese virus. Says Cheryl Rutgers, yet another vaccine-injured person who came to tell her story, quote, "On January 14th, I received the Moderna vaccine. The next morning, I woke up with severe swollen lymph nodes in my neck," unquote. Senator Johnson said, "Nobody wants to admit that there may be some problems. I think the American public should be able to have informed consent when deciding whether or not to take an experimental vaccine one way or the other," unquote. As for Maddie, her mother is desperate for answers and some kind of help. "Maddie may never be the same, and yet nobody seems to be at all concerned about her and the many other children in a similar position whose lives are now forever ruined."
Where are the pastors in this country, Lou? Why are you and I, retired school teachers, on the air on WWCR, Worldwide Shortwave, going out, you know, trying to warn about turning our lives back to Jesus Christ and warning about the evils? I don't think there are 500 other big mega church people on shortwave or on mainstream media outlets. I don't think that I hear a word out of them. Do you?
I've heard absolutely nothing.
I think even Dr. James Dobson's, it was good as far as he went. his concerns about using the aborted fetal cell line-derived vaccines for COVID, but it didn't go far enough. It was kind of a lukewarm acceptance. If you couldn't find anything else, well, maybe some weren't as bad as the others. That's what we are dealing with. And here is this heartbroken mother with the child in the wheelchair who can't feel her body from her waist down. What are we doing as a nation? Go ahead, Lou.
Senator Johnson says about those in charge who are burying their heads in the sand about all of this, quote, that small minority that are suffering severe symptoms, they want to deny that reality. I am not advocating anything other than to listen to these people and to take them seriously.
And you know, when we were getting ready for last week's program, I didn't mention to you, but on the back of one of the pages, we have to be economical, so we were using old paper. And there, as I turned the paper over, it was quoting President Trump, former President Trump. And he was just euphorically congratulating himself on Operation Warp Speed, and it went on and on. I could hardly bear to read it. He needs to repent. He needs to come to his knees. He needs to face little Maddie in that wheelchair. He needs to know that big pharma, big greed, big mammon, Satan's tools are not the same thing that he and his colleagues portrayed at the wonderful Republican convention that reaffirmed life. We cannot be men or women who are double-minded. We have to be brought to our knees. I was brought to my knees in the 1990s because I didn't think I was a sinner. I was Miss Goody Goody, and I played for the Sunday school for years, and I did this, and I did that, and I saved children's lives. I was brought to my knees, and though I had suffered greatly physically with illnesses, I still was brought to my knees to realize perhaps I was even possibly a murderer. I could kill. Now, that was an awful thing for someone like me to think that I was human. Given enough stress, given enough provocation, I was told that one time by a psychiatrist friend. He said, you know, Elizabeth, anyone can snap. We've heard these cases about, love killings, where a husband finds his wife betraying him sexually, and he shoots either her or the lover. These things happen. But you see, I was immune to that because I was not a sinner. But you see, we are all sinners. And if God has another role like he had for Trump in the beginning, like Osiris in the Bible, to help our country, because we do think horrible things possibly are coming. There may be a China invasion. And I must point out again the visions of Dimitru Dudeman. He was in Romania, and he used to sneak in to Russia to deliver Bibles after he was converted. And he was caught, and they were torturing him in an electric chair. And he kept crying out to God. And then he believed it was the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, you will live and you will go to America to warn them. And he did. He came to America, and this was in the 1990s. And part of the warnings of the visions were that when the Civil War starts, the invasion will start up through Mexico. And he named the various countries, Nicaragua, Venezuela, I think were part of it. And, of course, it would be China and Russia. Again, a lot of these excellent materials, Satan has made sure that they got transferred when we thought we'd be moving. And I'd have to hunt to see whether I can locate the original copy that I have written of his visions. But you see, there was another person who had a prophetic warning. That was Henry Groover, who used to prayer walk all over the world, and he would ask God to cast out demons from the area and bless the area. He saw nuclear attacks coming up over Alaska. That's what he saw. So you see, we're now moving into a time when we know China is becoming much more belligerent. Things are happening. We brought some of this out on earlier programs. But we also know that God loves America. He loves Americans. 90% of Americans are decent, and maybe 80 to 90 are Christian in their hearts. He doesn't want to destroy us. So we want more than Senator Ron Johnson's lukewarm statement. We want more from Trump. If he's coming back, I hope this word gets out to him that he needs to repent completely and live not for his ego, not for his insecurities, but for the great, wonderful power of God that God bestowed on him. He is the person who could help us if we truly go into war with China. This is too horrendous for us to think about. There are other prophecies about a coming tsunami. I think 20 people have seen this on the East Coast. So we really urge you again, there may be some contrived food shortages coming. We hear this. We heard it on Natural News on July 7th. So get to the store. Please buy up. Buy up. Canned meats. I once had I think it was Gerber's baby food. It was either chicken or ham, and it was stored under the bed because we had begun to worry about these things in the Bush years, so I had forgotten about it. It was there from 2005 to 2015, and I pulled it out, opened it, ate it. It was sealed. It was fine. So, you know, use your ingenuity and do prepare. But now, after my little bully pulpit speech, we never know whether anybody from the top is listening to us at the Pentagon, the good side people, some of the military. We don't know. But whoever is listening, whoever you are, whether you're on the good side or the bad side, don't you think that your life will end someday and you need to repent and know that you will go to heaven and not hell because both are real? Now, let's move right back to Lou is telling you about Senator Johnson, and now we're going to be shortly getting into the true figures. He said this is kind of rare, these things that happen, like to Maddie.
From childrenshealthdefense.org, this headline: latest CDC VAERS data show reported injuries surpass 400,000.
What? Almost 500,000?
That's right. And those were following COVID vaccines. This week's number, and this, by the way, is by Megan Redshaw, this week's number of total adverse events for all age groups following COVID vaccines surpassed 400,000, according to data released today by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. The data comes directly from reports submitted to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. Every Friday, VAERS makes public all vaccine injury reports received as of a specified date, usually about a week prior to the release date. Data released today shows that between December 14, 2020, and June 25, 2021, a total of 411,931 adverse events were reported to VAERS, including 6,985 deaths, an increase of 872 deaths over the previous week. There were 34,065 serious injury reports, up 2,825 compared with last week. In the U.S., 321.2 million COVID vaccine doses had been administered as of June 25th. This includes 132 million doses of Moderna's vaccine, 177 million doses of Pfizer, and 12 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson, J&J, COVID vaccine.
Of the 6,985 deaths reported, as of June 25th, 22% occurred within 48 hours of vaccination, 15% occurred within 24 hours, and 38% occurred in people who became ill within 48 hours of being vaccinated. This week's data for 12 to 17-year-olds show 12,674 total adverse events, including 720 rated as serious and 13 reported deaths among 12 to 17-year-olds. Two of the nine deaths were suicides. The most recent reported deaths include a 16-year-old girl, VAERS ID 1420630, who died 4 weeks after her second dose of Pfizer. A 17-year-old girl, VAERS ID 1420762, who experienced cardiac arrest 6 days after receiving a Pfizer vaccine. A 16-year-old boy, VAERS ID 1426828, who died 4 days after receiving a Pfizer vaccine. and a 13-year-old boy, VAERS ID 1406840, who died 2 days after receiving a Pfizer vaccine. Other deaths include 3 15-year-olds, VAERS ID 11879181382906 and 1242573, and 2 16-year-olds, VAERS ID 12259042 and 1386841, and 1 17-year-old, VAERS ID 11994555. 1,792 reports of anaphylaxis. Do you know what that is, Lou?
Well, I know it's bad, whatever it is.
Yes, I think you know. It's a terrible kind of an allergic reaction, a toxic shock to the body. And people carry around those EpiPens who have severe allergies, but it is life-threatening. So let's get that again. 1,792 reports of anaphylaxis among 12 to 17-year-olds, with 99% of cases attributed to Pfizer's vaccine, 1.2% to Moderna, and 0.2% or 4 cases to J&J. 300 reports of myocarditis and pericarditis, heart inflammation. And I think somewhere we have a bigger number. Maybe it's worldwide, like 800. We'll have to watch whether we see that in our materials tonight. But these 300 reports had 296 attributed to Pfizer, 52 reports of blood clotting disorders, 51 attributed to Pfizer, and 1 attributed to Moderna. This week's total VAERS data from December 14, 2020 to June 25, 2021 for all age groups show 21% of deaths were related to cardiac disorders. So, Lou, mathematician, that's about a fifth, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
51%, and that's about half, of those who died were male. 45% were female. And, you know, there's not a great difference there. It's about half and half. And the remaining death reports did not include gender of the deceased. The average age of death was 74.3. As of June 18th, 2,337 pregnant women reported adverse events related to COVID vaccines, including 791 reports of miscarriage or premature birth. And again, we refer you back to that wonderful interview with Dr. Peter McCullough at Brighteon. Do we remember about what date that was, Lou? If they go to naturalnews.com and they go down to the Brighteon website that's part of it, and it's Brighteon Conversations, it was early July, wasn't it, or was it June 30th?
I'm not positive. However,
if you start looking,
you can do a search on Brighteon.com.
For Dr. Peter McCullough,
that's
and that's
right.
Capital MC, then a big CULLOUGH. Again, it's Peter McCullough and the MC, CULLOUGH. Now, back to these stats. Of the 3,985 cases of Bell's palsy reported, 55% were attributed to Pfizer vaccinations, 42% to Moderna vaccine, and 7% to J&J. I knew a wonderful mentor one time, Mr. Ludwig Lutterick. When I was working in a department store as a very young woman in my 20s, he kind of set up images for me to live up to and to come out of that kind of turmoil that youth is always in. And he was really wonderful. He had wanted to be a pastor, I think. And he was a Sunday school teacher at one time, probably in Beverly Hills, for Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart's children. So he was a very fascinating individual. But at some point, after I was no longer working in that department store, I met him for lunch. And his whole side of his face had fallen in. And I thought, what in the world happened to you? And he said, that's Bell's palsy. And some people get rid of it. Some people never do. And so now the next serious thing is 365 reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome. You and I knew a janitor at our little Christian school one time who had had that after, I think, the swine flu inoculations. Lou? Remember him?
I certainly do.
He couldn't move his arm. It was still disabled. So 45% of these cases were attributed to Pfizer, 42% to Moderna, and 19% to J&J. And then here we have the 114,113 reports of the anaphylaxis. And I guess this is worldwide, isn't it, that we're into now?
I think so.
With 44% of cases attributed to Pfizer, 48 to Moderna, and 8 to J&J. 7,263 reports of blood clotting disorders. And again, they've broken this down. How many? 3,151 to Pfizer, 2,566 to Moderna, and 1,501 to J&J. And that last gremlin that we've been hearing so much about in young men, 1,576 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis, with 1,001 to Pfizer, 523 to Moderna, and 48 to J&J's COVID vaccine.
Some more of Senator Johnson's minority harmed, this time in the United Kingdom, not the U.S. Mom of three, excited, and these are her words, excited about getting the vaccine, dies from blood clot in brain following AstraZeneca jab. This was at National News by the news editors, Monday, June 28, 2021. A mother of three in the U.K. died after developing blood clots as a result of receiving AstraZeneca's experimental mRNA jab, her family reports. This article was originally from Infowars.com, written by Adam Salazar. According to the family of Aylstone, Leicester resident Lucy Taborer, 47, the otherwise healthy playgroup leader began experiencing mild side effects shortly after getting a shot on March 19th. Soon, however, the condition worsened, and Lucy had to be taken to the hospital where she died. Reports the Daily Mail, quote, a post-mortem found the mother had suffered from cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, a rare and deadly type of brain clot, unquote. The fatal episode occurred merely 3 weeks after the vaccination. Lucy's condition quickly began to deteriorate as her face started swelling and developing redness. Quote, she developed a bruise about the size of a tennis ball on her. Normally, she had all the energy in the world, but she became tired and lethargic, her fiancé, Mark Tomlin, recalled. He went on to say, then she got a really bad rash in her face and side. Her gums started to change color, and we got really worried, unquote. Lucy initially received care at Leicester Royal Infirmary, beginning on April 1st, about 13 days after being vaccinated, where treatment with blood thinners proved unsuccessful. By April 10th, she was transferred to Nottingham's Queen's Medical Center, QMC, at the ICU there, where, after an emergency surgery failed, doctors recommended taking her off life support. The distraught fiancé says consultants at QMC claimed the issue was vaccine-related. And then we go on to... a man in India goes blind due to COVID-19 vaccine, and the wife is to get compensation. This they came from Great Game India, July 2nd, 2021. A man in India has gone blind due to the COVID-19 vaccine. The court has directed the magistrate to decide on his wife's representation seeking compensation for the adverse effect of the vaccine. The Allahabad High Court, I guess that is how you pronounce it, Allahabad High Court has directed District Magistrate Budhan to decide on a woman's representation regarding blindness of her husband due to the vaccine. The bench of Justice Mahesh Chandra Tripathi was hearing a writ petition preferred by a wife who sought direction to respondents to pay compensation to her husband regarding his blindness due to vaccine of COVID-19.
Gee, it's a lot different. You know, we used to think that India was a third world country before they began to industrialize. But, you know, we can't sue the vaccine manufacturers here in America. They made sure of that. So there's a secret vaccine injury court. And we heard that it's run by Rod Rosenstein's sister. So, you know, it's who you know and what you can do. But we're not living in a free country anymore. We certainly aren't. Wasn't there another case of another injury there in Australia that you have there? Is there
something a little bit
more?
I believe that there was.
Maybe just pick that out quickly.
This seems to be concentrating upon India.
Oh, good. Is there another case?
Yes. It does say, as reported by Great Game India earlier, that a petition has been filed in the Supreme Court of India against mandatory mass vaccination in India.
All right, that's good, too. And if there are no other cases, then we're going to move on. I talked about a 13-year-old boy on a former program who was found dead from heart problems after the second Pfizer shot. This was June the 22nd. This boy was Jacob Kleinick, born in 2007. And he got a second shot on June 13th at a Walgreens 3 weeks after his first. And so that was very, very tragic. And then I talked about a possible similar case that we saw in an obituary here in Maryland in our local paper of a 13-year-old boy. It just said he passed away suddenly. And I said that from his facial configuration, it's possible that he had a slight problem, a sort of a deformity, like we had seen in a child we worked with years before. And that's nothing really to note that much. He was still very good looking, but we just wondered whether this was swept under the rug, whether COVID vaccines killed him. And in that article about Jacob, we have some more important information. As reported by Great Game India earlier, inflammation and swelling of the heart, a condition known as myocarditis, has been identified in many youngsters who have received their dose of Pfizer, BioNTech, COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Cody Meisner, a member of the FDA's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, expressed concern over the long-term effects of myocarditis on young people earlier this month, warning, before we start vaccinating millions of adolescents and children, it's so important to find out what the consequences are. And Lou, there are a few good people even in the heart of the beast. There's someone who is showing some concern in the FDA. So the article continues, recently the European Medicines Agency's EMA Safety Committee added another blood condition to the potential side effects of AstraZeneca's vaccine, branded as COVAShield in India, the capillary leak syndrome. Now, this was new to us, so we're bringing that to your attention, the capillary leak syndrome. Capillary leak syndrome is a condition that causes fluid to leak out of blood vessels and could cause very low blood pressure, leading to pain, nausea and tiredness, or in the worst case, kidney failure and strokes. And now we'll move right on, Lou.
And now the bombshell revelation of the evening. Patent document shows that DARPA built COVID with the help of Bill Gates and the WHO. This was by Ethan Huff from Natural News. Tuesday, June 29th, 2021. A patent has emerged to show that the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, was hatched nearly 2 years prior to its public release, proving that it did not randomly appear in bats at a wet market. Great Britain's Serco Group approved the patent filing for the Chinese virus a full 17 months before it first appeared, and the entities listed as its creators are many of the usual suspects. DARPA, Bill and Melinda Gates, DEFRA, D-E-F-R-A, the Wellcome Trust, and the European Commission. A filing with the United States Patent Office also lists the Perbright Institute as a funder of the Wuhan flu.
And just inserting, those who don't know what DARPA is, it's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Perbright, as we, and this is Natural News speaking, Perbright, as we reported before this whole thing spiraled out of control, is directly funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates nonprofit, and that word nonprofit is in quotes. That patent, dated for approval November 20th, 2018, clearly states that the assignee of coronavirus, and both of those words are in quotes, is the Perbright Institute, and in the haven parentheses, Woking, Perbright, Great Britain, funded by Wellcome Trust, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, EU. That's all in quotes. This patent was filed on January 23rd, 2017, which actually means that the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, was drummed up almost 3 years prior to when the news started reporting on its spread in Wuhan.
And we'll have to interject. No, it wasn't just China.
That's right. And here we have another quote. This is being reported by State of the Nation. quote, "The coronavirus patent was issued in just 17 months from initial filing. That's almost unheard of speed. With very little objection back from Serco, UK. Managed Patent Examiner, Bayo Q. Lee." Perbright Professor Brian Charleston, assigned to, quote, "develop novel vaccines." Perbright employs a professor by the name of Brian Charleston, who was listed on the school's website as a Wellcome Trust scholar and postdoctoral fellow who has helped provide, quote, "advice and expertise on the design of infectious disease challenge models for a wide range of pathogens and important agricultural species," unquote. One of Charleston's specifically assigned tasks is to develop novel vaccines, which is interesting in light of all that has come out over the past year concerning the Wuhan flu, its lab origins, and the rush to market Operation Warp Speed vaccines that are being administered for it. Charleston's connection to Wellcome is also suspect, seeing as how Burroughs, Wellcome and Company bankrolled and supplied medical kits full of experimental vaccines to the British Second Boer War, which led to the murder of more than 60,000 blacks and whites in the world's first modern-day concentration camp medical experiments. Wellcome and the other aforementioned groups, by the way, also have ties to the UK-US Pilgrim Society, which has controlled the press for centuries, steering the world towards a system of atheistic social fascism.
And that Pilgrim Society is very, very, very clandestine as far as we can tell. We can hear about the Jesuits, we can hear about the Freemasons, but everything is pretty well kept quiet about the Pilgrim Society. Go ahead, Lou.
And here's the subheadline: Bill Gates wanted a new coronavirus so he could make new vaccines. In the patent, it is further revealed that Gates and his cronies sought to create a new coronavirus for the purpose of developing new vaccines, and that word vaccines is in quotes, which would, of course, generate billions of dollars in new profits while killing off millions of people. The patent page explains that the coronavirus itself, quote, "may be used as a vaccine for testing and or preventing a disease such as infectious bronchitis in a subject," unquote. By referring to us all as his subjects, Gates made it clear in his patent that the Wuhan coronavirus would be the vehicle through which he and other uber-wealthy billionaires would deliver what is quickly shaping up to be one of the biggest destroyers of freedom and liberty that this world has ever seen. Perbright, Perbright has also been involved in patenting many other viruses, including African swine fever, which is also listed in patent documents as being a vaccine. And another subheadline: Bill Gates quietly announced his intentions with Event 201. Many have since forgotten about it, but Gates also hosted Event 201 back in the fall of 2019, just a few months before the Chinese virus was launched. While this exercise was dubbed as a hypothetical situation involving a killer virus potentially being unleashed, it quickly went live once the Wuhan flu was set free from the lab. Gates knew all along, of course, that his exercise would go live because he planned it to happen that way years in advance. There is no denying this based on the available evidence, and yet few are reporting these vital truths at a time when it is needed most. As you may recall, Gates even presented a scenario at Event 201 of how, quote, "public private partnerships," unquote, would be necessary during a global pandemic, quote, "to diminish large-scale economic and societal consequences," unquote. An announcement.
Operation Warp Speed and lockdowns.
Yes, that's so true. An announcement about the scheme explained, quote, "In recent years, the world has seen a growing number of epidemic threats that make that epidemic events, amounting to approximately 200 events annually. These events are increasing, and they are disruptive to health, economies, and society," unquote. In other words, the pandemic was planned, just as we said it was. And do not forget that the private corporation known as the CDC, along with the FDA and many other three-letter agencies, are also complicit in these crimes against humanity. More related news about Chinese virus deception can be found at the website deception.news.
Now, if you appreciate hearing an expose like Lou just gave you, the truth, you must tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com and go to our listening archives. And we thank a few listeners who are helping us to stay on air. We need a lot of help. And I thank Philadelphia again. There are some people who are really opening their hearts to us, and they're not wealthy people. So we do need a lot more help. Any money orders or checks only made out to WWCR or Global Star Communications. We can't take personal checks or little cash. Even postage stamps, you can mail them to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Lou, we have to move now to the deterioration of America the Beautiful after July 4th. We'll pick up more of that coronavirus news next week, but we're moving to this was Monday, May 31st. Texas locals create autonomous zone at Austin City Hall. Patrol grounds with machetes. A new Chaz-like tent city has sprung up at Austin City Hall in Texas, and City Councilwoman Mackenzie Kelly wants it to be removed. According to reports, a group of locals has set up shop outside the government facility in protest of a recent vote in which Austinites decided to reinstate a local ban prohibiting camping on public land. Some area homeless residents are upset about the new rule, so they have brought their machetes and other weapons to Austin City Hall, where they patrol the grounds day and night. Today, for the second time, I've been harassed and screamed at with obscenities walking out of City Hall, Kelly tweeted. One of the men had a metal pipe and at least one knife. I do not feel safe, which means others don't feel safe either. This really needs to be enforced in some way, and city leadership is not doing what it needs to protect its residents. And we could go on with what's happening there in Austin, or what was happening. We're going to move to more cities. And, you know, while this kind of deterioration is going on in America, what do we have? Our Commander-in-Chief Biden is now calling, and this was on July 7th, for people to be visited door by door. In other words, he would send a vaccine representatives to knock and talk, you see, at your door. And at the same time, we're hearing, this was July 7th, that the Pentagon wants to mandatorily vaccinate all soldiers. I presume this is new recruits mostly, but we're in a very dangerous time, and if we don't speak up for ourselves and our families, we aren't going to make it. And also, I had an article about unvaccinated West Point cadets being punished in hot, overcrowded tent. And I have to give you a little bit of this, and then Lou's going to tell you more about the cities. A group of West Point cadets, this is Natural News, June 28th, are being punished for not getting vaccinated against COVID-19 by being forced to live in a crowded tent without the amenities afforded to vaccinated cadets in scorching summer heat. Parents of some of the 37 unvaccinated cadets at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York, have reported that leadership there is essentially torturing these cadets by putting all of them in a single mixed-gender, mixed-rank tent designed for 20 people throughout the June and July cadet field training program. So that's 37 stuck in there, you see, for a tent that was designed for 20, a summer training requirement that focuses on small unit tactical operations. Contrast this with the accommodations given to vaccinated cadets. They are enjoying open bay barracks with a separate area for female cadets as well as separate male and female bathrooms. The barracks are also equipped with electricity so cadets can cool off with fans during the sweltering summer temperatures. And this idea that Lou and I heard yesterday about the Pentagon wanting to do mandatory vaccinations, this must be an element in the Pentagon that is sold out to communist China, because this is the proposed destruction of our military defense. Are you listening? Are you listening out there? You must tell others about the things that you're hearing. We really cannot let this crazy, evil Marxist takeover plan destroy our country. Let's just move right on now, Lou, to some of those things that you're telling us about, going to tell us about in California, the actual status of the cities.
Yes. The Epoch Times, June 16th, reported these headlines. Famed Venice Beach plagued by crime amid sharp spike in violent crime, robberies, and grand theft auto. Los Angeles County Sheriff is planning a sweep by July 4th. And here we have parts of two articles from Michael Snyder, the Economic Collapse blog.com, and the End of the American Dream.com. For a moment, I would like you to take an imaginary tour of a major U.S. city with me, and I would like for you to try to guess which city I'm talking about. As you stroll along the sidewalks in the height of the city, it seems like tents have been erected everywhere. Homelessness is completely and utterly out of control in this particular city, and even though city officials keep making more promises, the crisis just continues to get worse. As you continue your tour, you notice multiple addicts doing drugs right in front of you. Drug needles, human waste, and other trash is strewn all over the place. And you wonder why nobody from the city has cleaned up the mess. All of this filth has created a stench that is overpowering at times, and you try not to gag. As you travel deeper into the urban core of the city, you are shocked to see two men with guns carjack a woman a couple of blocks away. Not wanting to get involved, you change direction. You are startled when a couple of addicts that look like they were pulled straight out of a zombie movie start asking you for money, and you begin instinctively walking faster without even thinking about it. Unfortunately, you have stumbled into an alley that you should never have gone down, and you now find yourself completely surrounded by curious street people. You try to make a break for it, but it's too late. I'll stop our imaginary tour right there. Can you guess which major U.S. city I'm talking about? Sadly, the reality of the matter is that there are many U.S. cities that closely fit the description that I just gave. For example, Los Angeles was once one of the most successful, beautiful cities on the entire planet. But today it is being described as a, quote, squalid cesspool, unquote. The Democrat-controlled city of Los Angeles has devolved into a squalid cesspool of rampant crime, uncontrolled homelessness, and filthy streets littered with trash, drug paraphernalia, and human waste. That's the observation of numerous Californians, including award-winning actor James Woods, who lamented on Monday that the picturesque city he once loved is gone. If you walk through the streets of Los Angeles today, you will find that homeless people have erected tents literally all over the city. Jeremiah Babe has demonstrated this over and over again in his excellent videos, and the footage that he captures during his visits to the core of Los Angeles just seem to be getting worse over time. As conditions in Los Angeles deteriorate, it is fueling a dramatic rise in violent crime. The murder rate in L.A. is up 95% so far this year, and it is now the number one political issue in the city. Further north, San Francisco officials are dealing with their worst drug epidemic ever. San Francisco has always been a big problem with drugs, or had a big problem with drugs, but Dr. Christopher Caldwell says that the widespread use of fentanyl has taken things to an entirely different level. Over the past few years, California has gotten a bad rap for being in an absolutely filthy place, but the truth is the authorities are going to great lengths to try to clean things up. This week, Echo Lake Park in Los Angeles, California, the location of a former homeless encampment, received a much-needed and long-overdue deep cleaning. The park was closed last month, and since then, city officials have been working to clean and revitalize the park and have reportedly removed over 170 tents and other debris, the Los Angeles Times reported. Among the 35 tons, or 70,000 pounds of garbage, there were literally piles of poop, amounting to 180 pounds of feces and 564 pounds of urine, according to data from L.A. sanitation and environment workers. This did not include excrement collected from portable or permanent restrooms. Other hazardous waste, like needles used for drugs, gasoline, and kerosene, amounted to 300 pounds of the total trash collected, the L.A. Times reported. On the other side of the country, police in the Atlanta area are operating under new rules to restrict them from chasing criminals. This is infuriating many residents, because now violent criminals can literally get away with just about anything if they just drive away fast enough. This is the moment cops appear to be doing nothing amid a drive-by shooting in Atlanta, as residents of the wealthy Buckhead area say it's a war zone and demand to secede. By the way, the murder rate in Atlanta is up 60% so far this year, and officials in Atlanta say that they are desperate for solutions. Here is a solution. Perhaps they should actually allow the police to chase down criminals that are shooting at people. Just a thought. Up north, New York City hasn't seen this much degradation since the dirty days of the 1970s. Crime is wildly out of control, and filth is seemingly everywhere. Earlier today, I came across a report from the local Fox affiliate that discussed the fact that the number of subway cars that are soiled by feces, vomit, and blood is increasing. As people return to the subway system in New York City, they are finding more trash and filth, according to a new report. As our major cities degenerate into cesspools of crime, drugs, and filth, vast numbers of ordinary citizens are fleeing for greener pastures. In fact, North American Van Lines has just released a report that confirms there was a huge wave of migration from blue states to red states in 2020. Those living in the states of New York, California, Illinois, New Jersey, and Maryland headed for Arizona, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Idaho. Unfortunately, this is just the beginning. As our cities continue to deteriorate, millions more Americans will be seeking to relocate. Of course, this ongoing mass exodus has already pushed home prices in many desirable rural and suburban areas to absolutely absurd levels. If you're thinking about relocating, I would recommend doing it as soon as possible, because the collapse of our major cities is only going to get worse.
Very important warning for all of you listeners who may be in those cities to pray for God's direction. It's very, very important. He will help you with whatever your needs are. And we thank you for listening, and we ask you to pray for our program, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Send people there. They can go to our listening archives. And we just thank you so much, those of you who are prayerfully helping us to stay on the air. May God bless you richly this week. Good night.